This morning in our lesson, I want to do something that we do periodically, and that is to look at types and antitypes. If you look in your bulletin, there's a lesson sheet in the bulletin that outlines this sermon. I'm going to go fast enough. You may want to use this in your own private study time at home. But types and antitypes are one of the great evidences that the Bible came from God. There are things in the Old Testament that are a picture of things to come in the New Testament. Those Old Testament things are called types, and the New Testament things are called antitypes. This was done for us, and I don't think we've taught it enough. It was done for the Jews who wondered if Jesus was the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And it is one of the great evidences that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. You know, the Old Testament and the rules for the Old Testament in Exodus and Leviticus are thousands of years ago. Thousands of years. 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. And yet there is a picture in the Old Testament of what the Messiah was going to be like. How could anybody writing 1,000 years before an event describe an individual? Can you imagine right now? Can you sit down and tell what's going to be like in America 1,000 years from today? Or if America will even be here 1,000 years from today. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And let me go through these. I've got 9 of them that compare the high priest with Jesus Christ. By the way, one reason I wanted to do this lesson this morning is because on Wednesday night, we are studying in the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, we have a parallel between the types and the antitypes. An expansion of what I'm talking about in our lesson this morning. For example, the high priest was set apart and made holy for service to God. Leviticus 21, verses 10 through 11. Quote, the high priest, the one among his brothers who has been had the anointing of oil poured on his head and has been ordained to wear the priestly garments, must not let his hair be unkempt or tear his clothes. He must not enter a place where there is a dead body. He must not make himself unclean, even for his father or mother, or leave the sanctuary of his God or desecrate it, because he has been dedicated by the anointing of oil of his God. Now listen to Hebrews 7 and verse 26. Jesus Christ is a high priest who meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above heavens. Jesus was holy, set apart for service to God. The exact parallel to the Old Testament role of the high priest. How could the writer of Leviticus, a long, long, long time before the birth of Christ, have made a prophecy about what Jesus was going to be like? Another example, the high priest represented the people before God. Exodus 28. When Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel and will always bear the means of making decisions for the Israelites. Hebrews 9, verse 24. Christ entered heaven itself to appear for us in God's presence. The exact same thing as the role of the high priest. Number three, the high priest bore the iniquity of the people to make atonement. Numbers 18 and verse 1. The Lord said to Aaron, you, your sons, and your father's family are to bear the responsibility for offenses against the sanctuary and for offenses against the priesthood. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, speaking of Christ. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. The exact same thing as the high priest in Numbers. Number four, the high priest's office was a perpetual statute. Exodus 29 and verse 9. The priesthood is theirs by a lasting ordinance. Hebrews 6 and verse 20. Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And if you want to know what that's about, come to class on Wednesday night. Notice these quotes are from Hebrews. That's what we're studying on Wednesday night. Number five, the high priest was a mediator between the people and God. Listen to Leviticus 16, verse 17. No one is to be in the temple of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. That was the role of the high priest. Listen to Hebrews 4, starting with verse 14 about Jesus. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way as are we, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In our class this morning on prayer, we talked about the promise that God never tempts us and what the temptations come from that we are faced with. But here we have a discussion of the mediator, an exact parallel between Leviticus and Hebrews. Number six, the high priest offered sacrifices for the sins of the people. This is Hebrews 9 and verse 7. But the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood. But he offered for himself and for the sins of the people that had committed in ignorance. Hebrews 9 and verse 26. Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Number seven, the high priest was chosen from among men by God. Hebrews 5, verse 1. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. You remember your history of the Old Testament? How many times did the high priest mess up? How many times was the high priest guilty of the things that God held the people responsible for? Well, Richard has led us through classes after classes after classes showing all that and how that took place. But listen to what Jesus was about. This is Hebrews 5, verses 5 and 6. So Christ also did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest. Jesus wasn't on an ego trip. But God said to him, you are my son, and today I become your father. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus was selected by God. Number eight, the high priest's garments were for glory and beauty. Exodus 28, verse 2, make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. You read Exodus and you read the elaborate outfit that the high priest had to wear. It was beautiful. But listen to John 1:14. The Christ was made flesh and we beheld his glory of grace and truth. And finally, the high priest was cleansed for his office. Exodus 28, verses 4 through 7. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head. That's how the high priest was cleansed. And if you remember, the sons of Aaron were not the sharpest blade in the drawer. They had some terrible weaknesses. But listen to the discussion of Jesus. Acts 10, verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, let me ask you something. Why do you think this is there? I mean, I went through that in 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Why is it there? What do you think about it? Now, skeptics will say, oh, well, that was just an accident. It's coincidental. So you're going to tell me that someone could sit down and write a description like this of something that's going to happen 1,000 years from now? We can't even predict what's going to happen next week. Our government can't figure out what's going to happen until November the 13th. I mean, it's absurd to suggest that somehow all of this, and notice it wasn't one thing. I listed 9 things. I could have listed a lot more. Where do you think that comes from? What does the Bible say? Galatians 3 and verse 24. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into a faith that should afterwards be revealed. Thus, even as a slave who leads a child to the house of the schoolmaster, so the law has led us to our teacher Christ, that by faith we might be justified. You understand that one of the reasons that types and antitypes are given is to build your faith? One of the reasons we see these parallels, and I've just given you one here, there are dozens of Old Testament pictures of things that were going to happen when the church was established. That's an accident? Come on! Why is it that people won't put their brain in gear before they start opening their mouths? Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 1, says, therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Look at the evidence. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Romans 1 and verse 20 tells us we can know there is a God through the things he has made. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says all scripture is given by God. How do we know that? Look at the evidence. You can't look at the parallels between the types and the antitypes and somehow wash it off and ignore it. Do we really believe what the Bible says? Or do we just listen and go our way and not let it guide our lives? Romans 6, verse 4 says that truly converted people will live a new life. We are not here just to be like everybody else. People have seen us on the highway clean up. I'm so thankful that Denise and the people that worked with her have let the church's name be out there along with the casino next door and all the community groups and let people see we care. I'm so thankful that Tracy has helped us put our name before people in the Halloween Project. I'm so thankful that the neighbors are going to see our singing and be invited to come and enjoy a snack or a meal, whatever you guys decide we want to do. And know that there are people that actually care about and want to live a new life. We are not here to be like everybody else. We are here to be different. And God has assured us in many ways, in the lessons that are in the Bible, and types and antitypes are just one of them, that His Word will bear fruit. I got a letter the other day from Ann Halford. Some of you have heard about her before, the $2 lady. She worships with a congregation in New Mexico that's got 150 members. And she said in a letter, "I can't believe what you guys do. We got 150 members and we ain't doing nothing." That's a direct quote. They're keeping house. And that's not God's way. It's not God's way. We are to be active. We are to do something. This afternoon, we'll go to Timbers. And we'll conduct a devotional with the people at Timbers. One of the things that may happen at Timbers is we may end up going more frequently than once a month. One of the nurses asked me, could we do that? And I said, yeah, we'd be glad to do it. We'd love to do that. I don't know whether that'll happen or not. But let me tell you something, folks. People know we're here. And people care that there are still people in this world who love God, who love Jesus, and who are willing to follow His Word. And types and antitypes are just one more way for us to build our faith, to be committed to do what God has called us to do. One of the reasons that we give you a bulletin with a sermon outline on it is to hopefully get you to look during the week at the outline of the sermon and to think. I mean, I just rattled through those scriptures, and you know, you can't digest that on 10 minutes on a Sunday morning. Spend some time with it. Look at those passages in the Old Testament and the writings in Hebrews and be convicted about God's Word and let it run your life. Let it affect your prayer activity. And so as we said in our class this morning, we need to pray with the understanding. We need to sing with the understanding also. And one part of that is to be convicted about God's Word. Let's close today by singing together a song that encourages us in this direction. We urge you to join with us as we sing. Number, what do we end up with?
270.
Number 270. Let's sing together.